Good morning. Let's read this passage with a Brazilian accent. So if you have a Bible, open your Bible in Matthew chapter 11 or 21. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mountain of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, say to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches for the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for everything you've done, everything you did in our lives, you still do. Thank you, Holy Spirit, because you are here. Thank you because you were sent to sanctify us, to teach us. So we ask you one more time, help us in this moment to share your word and to understand your will for your church. We praise your name, in Jesus' name. Amen. We are beginning today our journey on the last week of Jesus' life on earth. Jesus and his disciples are going to Jerusalem. Jesus knows everything what will happen with him. On the way to Jerusalem, we saw they passed through Jericho. They passed through Bethany. And finally, they arrive in Bethphage. Just a small village. Small village. I don't know how many people live there. This was only 1 kilometer east of Jerusalem. Bethphage was about 2,600 feet, 792 meters of altitude. And from there, Jesus and his disciples could see the holy city. So imagine Jesus with his disciples, Jesus knowing everything what will happen with him. And he, his disciples, by the way, his disciples are totally lost because they don't understand yet the purpose of Jesus. But they saw the seed. They saw the seed. The text said here, so he asked two of his disciples, "Go to the village ahead of you. At once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." Why Jesus asked for a donkey and her colt? In verse 4 and 5, Matthew brings the reason. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." This prophecy comes from Zechariah 9:9. And when Jesus entered in Jerusalem on the colt, he was fulfilling this prophecy. Today, we think a donkey as just a beast of burden. But at the time, this animal was used by kings. If you want, you can open in 1 Kings chapter 1:33. You can find that. He said to them, "Take your Lord's servants with you and have Solomon, my son, mount my own mule and take him down to Gihon." Verse 6 and 7 show that the disciple brought the donkey and the colt. And they placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sit on, and they went toward Jerusalem. Try to imagine now the scene with me. The disciples brought the donkey. They take off her cloaks, put on the donkey. Jesus is there, and they start to walk through Jerusalem. Less than 1 kilometer. The verse 89 says, "A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shout, 'Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!'" They finally pass for the fish gate. That Jesus, the twelve disciples, and the crowd do not stop to crowd to say, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" Matthew finished his narrative in verse 10 and 11. Say, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowd answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." We can find here three different groups in the crowd. First group, people from outside Judea who came to the Passover. We have two, the local people who saw Jesus raise Lazarus in Bethany. So the people was there too. And we have two, the religious leaders who were afraid about what Jesus might to do at the feast. The local leaders were thinking that Jesus was seeking to incite a revolution and establish himself as a king. When they saw, the local leaders saw, the crowd honor Jesus, they just think, wow, this is what Jesus wants to do. He wants to be the king, but a political king, not the king of kings. We need to understand that Jesus was provoking them. Jesus was forcing their hand. They didn't know that. But Jesus wants that everything that's happened, because everything should be fulfilled. We need to understand that Jewish leaders had decided not to arrest Jesus during the feast. But God had another plan. The Lamb of God must die at Passover. The Lamb of God has to give his life when the Passover lambs were being slain. In this passage, Jesus will allow for the first time one thing that he never did before. He allowed his followers show honor for him in a public environment. My question today is why? What represents this historic event in Jesus' life? Today we will see what means the Palm Sunday to the Romans, to the people of Israel, and for Jesus. What did this demonstration mean to the Romans? Matthew doesn't say anything about that. But just imagine. Jerusalem was full of people. And more were expected to come because they passed over. Some scholars say that Jerusalem is about 50,000 people in normal days. 50,000 people. But during the Passover, the sea passed the 50,000 to 120,000 people. So imagine what the Roman Empire, the Roman soldiers, I'll see this. So we have here maybe 200, 150 people. Imagine more than double that here. So the city was a mess. And who was in the power was afraid. Because they know that time to time some Jews come to try to rouse kind of revolution and take the power from the Roman Empire. So the Rome was a little bit scared. And the soldier, I imagine, I didn't see in the video, but I imagine you have soldiers over there take a look for all situation. What did the triumphal entry mean to the people of Israel? The name Jerusalem means seat of peace or foundation of peace. The people in Jerusalem was waiting, oh, this is the king. He will bring the peace we need. Daughter of Zion is another name for the seat of Jerusalem. Jesus was openly announced to the people that he indeed is the king of Israel, the promised Messiah. We saw in this passage that pilgrims welcomed Jesus. They spread their garment before him and waved palm branches as symbol of peace and victory. Among them, we have many patriotic Jews, too. They joined the crowd, not because they loved Jesus, but they joined the crown because they hate the Romans. And they want to use the whole situation. Wow, if he is a Jew, he could be our king. But you know, this group was the first one who cried out less than 1 week later, crucify him, crucify him. We sometimes hear that some people, that the same people who cry Hosanna on Palm Sunday was the same people who cry crucify him on Good Friday. We need to separate this. Most, the predominantly people who want Jesus to be crucified was people from Judea or people from Jerusalem. People outside of Jerusalem. People who saw Jesus raise Lazarus. People who lived with Jesus, who saw the ministry, who saw his love. They were not there. So we need to separate. A good question today is, if you are questioned about your faith in this country, in which group you will be? We will be. With those deny Jesus for their own safety, or those are not afraid to say, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ no matter what can happen with me. It's your choice. But what did this event mean to Jesus? First of all, this event was a proclamation of Jesus' kingship. Verse 8 says, a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Spreading cloaks on the road was an act of royal homage. The crowd knew what they were doing. 2 Kings 9:13 says, they quickly took their cloaks and spread them under him on the bare steps. Then they blew the trumpet and shout, Jehu is king. Doing that, the people not only have recognized Jesus as king, they were proclaimed, Jesus is our king. This event was too a proclamation of Jesus' messiahship. Verse 9 says, "The crowd that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna is in the highest heaven.' The people began to declare part of the Psalm 118, 26, 27. The Psalm says, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God, and he made his light shine on us. We, with bows in hand, join the festal procession up to the horns of the altar.'" The shout, "Hosanna," means "save now." And Jesus knew that when the people were saying that, they were quoting Psalm 118, a messianic psalm. And Jesus allowed that. Why? Because Jesus wants to show for everyone he is king. He is the Messiah. The event was true. A proclamation of Jesus' victory. Palm branches were used in celebration of victory. In Psalm 18:27, we saw the use of a branch to celebrate not only the arrival of the king, but his victory over his enemies. In Leviticus 23:40, we find the same spirit of celebration. "On the first day, you are to take branches from luxuriant trees, from palms, willows, and other leaf trees, and rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. Long time ago, I was meditating in Matthew 12:42, when Jesus said, "He is greater than Solomon," the King Solomon. And I tried to think, if I was a Jew at the time, if I listened to that, Jesus said, "I am great than the King Solomon." What this looks like for me as a Jew? King Solomon was born in a palace. Jesus in a manger among animals. Jesus could not be greater than Solomon. King Solomon had servants and slaves to serve him. And Jesus said, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has not place to lay his head." How can this Jesus be great, the Solomon? When King Solomon had to travel, he had horses, camels, mules to transport him. Jesus walked all the time. No Mashirutka all the time. He walks all the time. And do you know when he ride a donkey, he need to borrow. How can Jesus be greater than Solomon? So I came to myself, and it's true, Solomon was born in a palace. Solomon was born in a nice place and Jesus in a manger. But when Solomon born, the angels did not came. When Solomon born, the star did not came to show where the Savior. When Solomon born, the wise men did not came from the east to worship him. Yes, Jesus is greater than Solomon. Yes, it's true. King Solomon had servants and slaves to save him, and Jesus had no place to lay his head. It's true. But King Solomon never had people that until today are ready to die for him and for his message. Solomon never served 5,000 men besides women and children with 5 bread, 2 fishes. Yes. Jesus is great than Solomon. It's true. King Solomon had many animals to transport him. But Solomon never said to the storm, "Stop!" And it stopped. Solomon never walked on the waters. Solomon never said, "Raised from the dead." Yes, Jesus is great. The Solomon. Solomon died and his body was destroyed. But Jesus rose and he is alive. Yes, Jesus is great than Solomon. And this is why we are here. This is why we celebrate. Dear friends, dear brothers and sisters, Jesus is not just another king. Jesus is the King of Kings. Likewise, Jesus is not just one God more to put in our list. He is the true God who came, left his glory, and died for you. Die for me, die for us. We are gathered today to prepare our heart to remember the most powerful demonstration of God's love. This love was for me, it was for you. Next week we celebrate Easter. Jesus came to die for you and for me, but the death could not hold him. Jesus rose and he is in heaven interceding for us. We are finished today reading Revelation 7 from 9 to 10. In this passage, we will find the ultimate demonstration of Jesus' victory. Open for me. Revelation 7, 9 to 10. Look at this big picture. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes, and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cry out in loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Praise be always our Lord and God, Jesus Christ. God bless you.